Every day I realize more and more that Papa loves me. Daddy loves me. Tell myself this every night before I go to bed. Before I close my eyes, I tell myself how much Daddy loves me. How much my Father loves me. And He loves me with perfect love. He sees no wrong. He sees no fault. There's nothing I can do to make Him love me anymore.
Amen.
Nothing I can do to make Him love me any less. He loves me perfectly, wholly, tremendously, amazingly. That's how I go to bed every night. And you know what? Because I go to bed every night, as soon as my eyes open up in the morning, it's like, oh, thank you, Daddy, for loving me. Thank you, Father, for loving me. His love is amazing. And realizing He loves me has caused me to have a reflex and a rebound in loving Him.
Amen.
And that's what His intent was from the very beginning. That's why 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 says, here's love. Not that you love God, but that He loves you.
Amen.
That He loves you. God is love. And the more and more you come into that realization, the more and more it's just going to reflex into your love for Him. And you know, it's not only the revelation of the Holy Spirit of his love for me, but 1 John, I don't know if you remember back in the youth group days, if you were in the youth group, but we used to sing the song, this is 1 John 4, 7, and 8. You heard that song? Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. You guys don't know that song?
No, but you say it great.
So you see, Holy Spirit reveals His love for us in an intimate, special, quiet way when we're reading the Word. When we see how much the Father loves Jesus, and we understand, well, that's how much He loves us. Jesus prayed that, oh, Father, I pray that they would understand one day that the love you have for me is the same love you have for them.
Amen.
John chapter 17, verse 23. Now, how else is the love of God revealed to me? Through my wife. Oh my gosh, my love for God has expanded so much because I've seen His love for me through my wife.
Amen.
And it's caused a reflex to love her more. You see, people have a problem with grace. Here I go again. People want law. People want how to. I'm always going to be a grace man because I used to be a how to man. I took all the courses. All the courses. I took all the personality courses so you could understand your personalities. I took the men are from Mars and women are from Venus courses. I took whatever. Man of Steel, Man of Velvet. I took all the courses. For 30 years, it was nothing but a struggle. In fact, after all the courses, our marriage was on the ropes. I thought we were headed for divorce. I was preparing. The last person in my home was my daughter. And I was preparing her because it was just horrible. But what happened? Grace. Grace. The grace of God. You want to know why? Romans chapter 6, verse 14. This is my stand. This will always be my stand. If you want more, this is the wrong place, okay? If law is your measure, sin will always be your master. Grace is what gives freedom.
Amen. Nice.
Grace is the power. Grace is the ability. Grace is what we need. Grace received and believed turns us into, transforms us into who we really are.
Amen.
This is being recorded, Dora. And you read Mark chapter 9, okay? You're going to read about the transfiguration. Jesus, Peter, James, and John. Now, as Jesus is being transfigured, right? The glory that's within him. The glory that's within you, right? The glory that's within him all of a sudden shines so brightly. This might be my message. Who knows? We might just worship the rest of the time.
Okay.
Right?
Amen.
Okay. The glory that was within him was revealed. Read it. Shone brighter than the sun. Majestic. Brilliance. Supernatural. And then the other part of the glory was doxa, right? Was God's view and opinion. And the voice came down. My beloved son, whom I'm well pleased. All right. Now, in John chapter 17, verse 22, what does Jesus say? Father, I want us all to be one. I want us all to be one, just like you and me are one. They'll be one. They'll be one with us. We'll be one with them. Why? 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 John chapter 17, verse 22. Because the glory that you've given to me, I've given to them.
Amen.
It's confirmed by Paul in Romans chapter 8, verse 29 and 30, where it says, who he foreknew, that's you and I, knew us in advance. He predetermined that we would be conformed to the exact image, likeness, duplicate copy of his son, the firstborn amongst many brethren. Because who the Father called, we completely justified.
Amen.
And then once we were justified, guess what? Just like Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 22. Romans chapter 8, verse 30. He glorified. Now, I want you to understand one thing. Transfigured. Transfigured. It's only three places in the Bible. That word for transfigured in the Greek is only in three places in the Bible. Very important. It's two places in the Gospels is at the transfiguration. That's the first place. Transfigure. The word is metamorpho.
Oh.
Metamorpho. Only in two other places. You want to know where they are?
Revelation?
No. Come on. Anybody know where they are? This is important, guys. Do not be conformed. Do not be conformed to the image of this present system, this religious age, the system of law, but become transformed, metamorphosed, by the renewing of your mind. It's not about rules and regulations and do's and don'ts. You become as Jesus as you renew your mind that you are like Jesus.
Amen.
And then the third place is found, the only other place is found, is in Romans, not Romans, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, where it says, we behold as in a mirror the image of the Lord. And as we behold that image, who are you looking at when you're in the mirror? You're looking at yourself, right? No, not God's mirror, not the Word of God. When you look at his mirror, you're looking at Jesus, and that's the only mirror that's not distorted. Every other mirror that you can look at is distorted. You don't know what you really look like. You think you do. All your mirrors are distorted. I think don't mirrors show up backwards?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
When you take a picture.
Part of your hair is backwards. Pictures, it's all distorted. There's only one picture of you and I that's not distorted. It's when we look at Jesus. Then we're looking at the true you and I. And so here's the third place. You behold, you believe, and it says, and you are changed into that image by the Holy Spirit. That word change is metamorpho. So if you want to be what God wants you to be, you want to be that loving husband, you want to be that loving parent, you want to be that good employee, it's going to become natural when you understand you're identical to Jesus by his love and by his grace. That has freed me. When law was my measure, and it was for 30-something years, sin was my master. Then the law comes by Moses. See, we think when, and it sounds nice, it really does. I might even preach it once or twice. When the woman that was taken in adultery tried to set Jesus up, was laid before Jesus. He said, let him who's without sin cast the first stone, right? And then he knelt down and started writing in the fingers, with his fingers in the dust. Now, I don't know if you've heard it preached that perhaps he was really revealing to them, listen, I know the law, I'm the one that wrote it. Have you ever heard that? Nobody? Good. Because the Apostle Paul, he clarifies it and says, no. The law didn't come by God. The law came by angels. See, Paul gives us the true revelation. Paul gives us the true understanding. Everything else is progressive. Then we become to the fullness of the gospel. You know? It's just like the nation of Israel was enslaved for 400 years. No, they weren't. We've heard it preached. We've heard it traditionally preached. So we just believe it. We just accept. We got to stop believing. We got to stop accepting. Paul comes along and says they weren't delivered from Egypt until 430 years after the promise. 430 years, Paul. 430 years. What promise? The promise he gave to Abraham. That's the 400 year mark. But why was it 430 years, Paul? Because in the year 390, right? Moses goes and kills an Egyptian, and then he flees in the desert for 40 years. So when you add that 40 to 390, you get Paul's 430. The Bible is amazing if you just let the Bible correctly interpret itself. And then when you think, okay, Joseph in Egypt, Abraham came with his family, right? Joseph lived to be 110 years of age, you know? And then it says in the book of Exodus, their numbers grew so much, then Pharaoh looked. It wasn't 400 years. But we accept what people preach. And so, going back to Jesus, no, I don't know what he was writing. I don't know what he was writing. Maybe he was writing their sins. What do you think?
I heard he was writing the sins of the people who condemned them.
But that would be a lot of writing. But that's more feasible.
I don't know how
that that's more feasible because Paul says it didn't come from God. See, and John says the law came by Moses, by a person, right? And grace came by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Grace, truth came by Jesus Christ. Now we go to John chapter 8, verse 32. And what does it say? And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then verse 36 of chapter 8. And he who the Son makes free is free indeed. So grace comes and frees us from legalities. Grace frees us from ceremonial rituals. Grace frees us, and then it empowers us. Because grace is in us. Jesus is in us. And we're led by the Spirit. If you're not led by the Spirit, you're no son or daughter of mine. So these are affirmations every day. I'm not under the law, I'm under grace.
Amen.
I'm led by the Spirit. The Spirit leads me. The Spirit guides me. The Spirit carries me. I am exactly who God says I am. I am exactly who God says I am.
Hallelujah.
God says I'm perfect, I'm perfect. God says I'm holy, I'm holy. God says I'm righteous, I'm righteous.
Amen.
God says I'm complete, I'm complete. God says I'm sanctified, I'm sanctified.
Amen.
That's his view and opinion of me. I'm going to embrace his view and opinion every day. And I'm not going to let religion tell me anything different. Two things I won't pray. Want to know what they are? Yeah. Number one, I will never pray to become, or for God to help me become, something I already am.
Okay. Nice. Amen.
No amen. A couple of small amens. All right. Number two, I will never pray for something I already have. See, that's why the metamorpho, man, I'm going to have to use this message for next week. That's why the metamorpho, the transformation, it's all within you. It's all within you. That's why the metamorpho will only become complete or become completed and completely manifested, right? And come to a fruition in this earth walk in our lives by the renewing of our mind.
Amen.
The rightful renewing of our mind. grace. I'm never going to stop blaming everything on Jesus. I'm never going to stop giving him all the praise, honor, and glory.
Amen.
And I believe he's using my body because this is not the message I came to teach or came to preach. This is his message. It's him I live and move and have my being. You know? And I become disassociated and I become diseased when I start taking my mind that's in the process of being renewed and even the renewed part of my mind and go back to old programs and go back to old believing and go back to old worry and go back to old stress and go back to old anxiety. And I become diseased, disassociated and distanced from the ease of resting in his love and being a child of his.
Amen.
I praise and I worship him.
Hallelujah.
I give him glory for his awesome, wonderful, marvelous grace. So I hope that you believe you're in the right place. Because answer to everything is it's grace.
Yep.
The answer to everything is Jesus. Because when you receive of his marvelous, wonderful grace, that power, Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Therefore, if that same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, then that same power that raised him from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies.
Amen.
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 Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. That you might know, become intimate with. That word know is epignosis. It means become intimate with. That you might become intimate with the exceeding greatness of his power to you who believes.
Amen.
According to the same power that was wrought in Christ when he was raised from the dead. That was amazing power.
Amen.
Think about it. The sins of the world. The Bible tells us that in Christ, God was reconciling the entire world, past, present, and future.
Hallelujah.
That was amazing power. And when you study it out, exceeding greatness, power. Paul could have simply said that you might know, become intimate with the same power that raised Christ from the dead. And that word power that he used there is dunamis. Dunamis, like dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
You ever see a building that they're going to demolish and they just load it up with dynamite and they set the charges off and next thing you know it's nothing but a pile of dust. Powerful. But Paul didn't just use that. He used exceeding greatness. Exceeding mega. Megos. Megos. You know, I've heard about it. I've heard about the mother of all bombs that some of these nations and some of these countries have. And what they can do and how devastated they are. They get that megas. Megas. And then the other word he used, extreme, tremendous, amazing. Paul gave such wonderful adjectives to his power. It's ours if we become intimate with it. And then Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Huh. Are you waiting for miracles?
Yes.
But you're waiting for some more, right? I'm expecting some more. I'm always expecting more.
Yes.
Expecting some more. Well, God is able to do far beyond what you could dare ask or think.
Amen.
Amen.
According to the dunamis that worketh within us. This is the power of grace, guys. You can choose the measure of law, right? Gives power to sin. Or you can choose grace. And grace will change every single area of your life.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
And I'll tell you what, for 5 years, I've been missing one area of our life. I'm going to be preaching on that, well, I don't know, next week. I'm going to be preaching grace giving, because that's what I believe in, grace giving. The generosity of grace. I've been teaching that you're holy, that you're righteous, that you're sanctified. But I have not been teaching that you are a grace giver. A generous grace giver. That's part of our character.
I believe that.
Our church treasurer, I think, is going to be a little taken back tomorrow, later on. Because I shared Grow the Flow message with our students. about generous grace giving. And they gave several thousand dollars.
Praise God.
Several thousand dollars. Both checks and online. And some of them said, "Oh, Pastor, we left yesterday without putting our offering in. Man, we're gonna text it, so there's gonna be more coming in." And you see, I believe the channels of grace that are within us is up to us to control. If we clamp them by not believing we're holy or righteous, then we're going to stop that flow that's within us. But the more we believe we're holy and righteous, the more we release that flow that's within us. If we don't become generous grace givers, we're going to clamp that flow. But as we realize we're generous grace givers, it's going to open up the flow more. And let me tell you something. The kingdom of God is taken care of by the flow of his people. But let me tell you something about the flow of his people. God wants us to live in abundance. And God wants us to live in prosperity. And we may think we're living in abundance, and we may think we're living in prosperity, but we have no idea until that flow of grace is increased. So grace for me is everything. Amen?
Amen.
I'm learning. I'm growing. I'm moving. I believe I'm going in the right direction. And I hope you do too, and I hope you believe you're all with me. So, wow, that's almost been 30 minutes. What do you think? Think that's enough of a message for today? All right, so let's spend the rest of the time.